If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Socialism is popular in the UK, not just among students, but also among people in their 30s and 40s. This is confirmed by survey after survey. Surveys also show that support for socialism in general terms is matched by support for a broad range of individual policies that could reasonably be described as socialist. Curiously, support for socialism in the abstract is not matched by positive perceptions of any actual example, contemporary or historical, of a socialist system in action. People with a rose-tinted view of, for example, the former Warsaw Pact countries, of Maoist China, of North Vietnam or North Korea, are a small minority in Britain today. Socialists have successfully distanced themselves from the over 24 failed attempts to build a socialist society. Their claim that these systems were never really socialist, but represented a distortion of the socialist ideal, has become conventional wisdom. Today, holding the failures of, for example, the former Soviet Union against a contemporary socialist is considered crass and boorish. Yet, while socialists distance themselves from contemporary and historical examples of socialism, they usually struggle to explain what exactly they would do differently. Socialists tend to escape into abstraction and talk about lofty aspirations rather than tangible, institutional characteristics. Those aspirations, for example, democratizing the economy, however, are nothing new. They're the same aspirations that motivated earlier socialist projects. Socialism has never fulfilled those aspirations, but this is not for a lack of trying. The not-real socialism defense is only ever invoked retrospectively, namely, when a socialist experiment has already been widely discredited. As long as a socialist experiment is in its prime, almost nobody disputes its socialist credentials. On the contrary, practically all socialist regimes have gone through honeymoon periods, during which they were enthusiastically praised and held up as role models by plenty of prominent Western intellectuals. It is only after the event, i.e., once they've become an embarrassment for the socialist cause, that their version of socialism is retroactively redefined as unreal. This pattern started in the 1930s, when thousands of Western intellectuals went on political pilgrimages to the Soviet Union. Even though the atrocities of that regime were widely known, or at least knowable, in the West, the Soviet Union was widely held up to be a worker-run, grassroots democracy in the making. When Stalin mania later fell out of fashion, most of Stalin's Western admirers did not officially renounce their position, but simply fell silent on the issue. In the 1960s, the same thing happened again, except that this time, Cuba, North Vietnam, and above all, Maoist China, became the utopias du jour. Echoing the earlier wave of pilgrimages to the Soviet Union, Western intellectuals flocked to these places in large numbers and returned full of praise. The new utopias were presented as an alternative to Western capitalism on the one hand, but also to the discredited socialism of the Soviet Union and its allies on the other hand. The "this time is completely different" is not remotely new. Since the 1960s, Western intellectuals have explicitly defined all new socialist experiments in opposition to earlier failed attempts. When Cuba, Vietnam, and Maoist China fell out of fashion in the 1970s, Albania and Cambodia took their place. The scale of the pilgrimage was tiny this time, but the basic pattern was the same. Western admirers claim that while earlier socialist experiments had been corrupted, this time a genuine workers' and peasants' democracy would emerge. Due to their extreme isolationism, these countries were not tainted by associations with discredited versions of socialism. The two most obvious natural experiments of socialism are the splitting of Korea and Germany into a socialist and a broadly capitalist part. It's clear today that these experiments have produced conclusive results, but this was not always so clear, and as long as the jury was out, plenty of Western intellectuals sympathized with the socialist rather than the capitalist parts of these countries.